It's time. One of my favorite things to say, actually. It is time for Arthur Schwartz to lead our food
Yes,
pantry. And yeah, it's time, and we look forward to this. A lot of people look forward to this. So, good news, it's time. Hello, Food Mensch. Hello, Arthur Schwartz.
hello. I went off on a tangent last week with eggplant. I'm still sort of fixated on eggplant, but what I wanted to talk about before I got fixated on eggplant was eggs themselves. We hear that egg prices have gone down, but they're never going to be as cheap as they used to be. And I must tell you that even expensive eggs are cheap. I have to say that because where else can you find the perfect food for 40 cents? And that's what an expensive egg costs. I don't know. What are you paying for eggs? Are you conscious of that at all, Jill?
No, because a lot of people have chickens.
Well, that
I'm
is
serious.
true.
Is that like
No, I'm sorry. So,
I
but do you get your eggs
wouldn't
from neighbors' chickens or your own chickens?
some
Oh, that's
or
good.
I actually don't know what a dozen eggs cost here. I know that it's perfectly reasonable. That I do know.
Well, so my
Perfectly
expensive
reasonable.
eggs, my
What?
expensive egg, my expensive eggs are $5 a dozen, which comes out to, I think it's 41 cents per egg. And, three eggs is an ample serving. So we're talking $1.20, maybe $1.25, really expensive eggs. But most eggs don't even cost that much. But that's not why I eat eggs. I eat eggs because they're indispensable. Now, we used to say they were the complete food. They have protein, they have fat. Then they weren't the complete food because they had cholesterol and they had fat. So, egg would go in and out of favor. I had a laugh when egg prices went way up because of bird flu, by the way. That was the main cause of the increase in price and other apparently other problems of health of the birds. Not because of, well, and in addition, because of general inflation. But in any case, I realized how important, I mean, I always knew how important eggs are, but just recently, stuck in the house because of various reasons, I'm not sick, I was down to four eggs. And I realized I had to make choices. Did I want to make this or did I want to make that? They were going to take up my eggs. So I had to dole out the eggs, so to speak. Now, eggs, besides being the perfect food because they have a nutritional profile that is extraordinary, they're very low in calories. A large egg is only about 75 calories. If you eat jumbo eggs, maybe they're, I don't know, maybe they're 90 calories, a larger egg. I, by the way, always buy large eggs, and that's because I develop recipes for other people, and the standard in recipe development, recipe writing is the large egg. If you're not using a large egg in a recipe, you have to specify, or you should anyway, specify that it's either extra large or jumbo. I recently had to buy jumbo eggs because that's all the store had. Three jumbo eggs is equal to four large eggs, but I generally buy large eggs, and I generally buy brown eggs only because there's a brand in my store that's brown and I like them. And I have to say, I also buy those branded eggs. Now I'm forgetting what the brand is. You even see them advertised on TV, and they're very good eggs. They supposedly have an even better nutritional profile than regular eggs. And I must say that one of the things I like about them is they're very consistent. And so I know exactly how hard to tap the egg to get it to open for me. Every time I change brands of eggs, I've got to get used to a new shell. Sometimes they're very hard and they really need a knock to get them to break open. Anyway, eggs can be cooked so many ways. I mean, for their own sake alone, Boiled eggs. Now, I must say that the bane of my childhood was having to eat soft boiled eggs, which is the way my father liked them. And he would crumble in, and I learned to do this myself, a lot of saltine crackers into the soft boiled eggs. That was his favorite boiled egg. Personally, I prefer a hard boiled egg. And here's how I make my hard boiled eggs. I know I've said this on air many times, but I'll say it one more time. I put the cold eggs from the refrigerator into a pot of cold water, enough water to just cover them. Bring it to a boil over high heat, and as soon as it comes to a boil, take it off the heat, cover the pot, and for large eggs, let them stand for 12 minutes. I then usually plunge the pot with the hot water into the sink with cold water and let some cold water run over the eggs until and leave cold water in the pot with the eggs while I peel them. And I like to peel them right away. You can peel them later, for certainly if you're making a lot of hard-boiled eggs or hard-cooked eggs, we like to say, because we don't really boil them. You can keep them in the shell for protection and just put them in the refrigerator and have a hard-boiled egg when you feel the urge, because it's a really good snack food if you're trying to up your protein, as everybody seems to be doing these days. After boiled eggs, I have to say, lately I am really into, seriously into fried eggs. And I fry them sometimes in butter, sometimes in olive oil. The other night, I made one of my favorite egg things, which is spaghetti with fried eggs. This is the simplest do nothing recipe. Just boil up your spaghetti. We eat 3 ounces per person. The box will tell you what a serving is, 2 ounces. I will tell you 3 ounces is ample. And if you go beyond that, I hope you're eating something else sometime that day, because that's a lot of spaghetti. But anyway, however much, I would say for each 3 ounces of spaghetti, I could use 2 eggs. So that's what I did the other night. I fried up, I heated up an ample amount of olive oil in a wide skillet. I fried the eggs, starting them on high heat, and then almost immediately turning down the heat to low and letting them cook over low heat. Now, it's the same principle as when I boil eggs. If you moderate the heat, meaning, don't subject the eggs to an extended boiling or extended frying, the whites especially, they will get tough. But if you do it slowly, the whites are very, very tender in the case of both boiled eggs and fried eggs. I like the soft, cloud-like even whites. And of course, I want to leave the yolks runny, because once the spaghetti is done, I'm just going to, and I just lift it out with tongs, with a little bit of water clinging to the spaghetti. You lift it out, put it in the skillet with the eggs, the fried eggs, and just toss them together. I think this calls for grated cheese, but you don't have to have that. A good amount of pepper is always good, but this is one of my favorite, I don't want to cook tonight recipes. I have to say, I've been making this for many years. And I think I actually made it for Mark Bittman many years ago, and I and Mark actually credited with me when he published it in the New York Times. But nowadays I see it online as Mark Bittman's spaghetti with fried eggs. But anyway, it's a Neapolitan classic at home thing. Eggs are very, very important in Southern Italian cooking, because they are an important source of protein in a place where meat was very, very expensive. Chicken was sort of unheard of almost. Rabbits, they ate a lot of rabbit. But anyway, eggs are super important in many
Quick question.
ways. Yes,
Arthur, quick
please.
question. How cooked do you have your yolk in your fried egg?
Well,
Is it over easy? Is it
For spaghetti, I have it very runny, because I
okay?
wanted to the hot spaghetti to sort of cook the yolk and also be coated with the egg. As you toss it, I want you to add pepper, of course, taste and see. You may need salt. I put a lot of salt in my water when I cook spaghetti, so I usually don't need to add salt. But salt, pepper, and if you want, by the way, you can fry your eggs with a couple slices of garlic, and that's a nice flavoring for this.
Oh,
You
yeah.
can eat this, yeah, eat this with grated cheese, either pecorino or parmigiano, whichever you like. Or, a lot of Neapolitans combine the two. They like the saltiness of the pecorino, and the little bite of the pecorino, but they also want the butteriness of the parmigiano. So you can do what you like. It's a home dish. So speaking of a home dish, the other egg thing that I make fairly frequently is Chinese. I don't cook many Chinese dishes, but I do love Chinese scrambled eggs with tomato. And by the way, I also make Chinese scrambled eggs when I make fried rice. I save leftover rice from takeout Chinese and come up with some kind of fried rice the next day or 2 days later. But egg is always part of it. So what I mean by Chinese is that I would say for a couple of eggs, let's say for two eggs, I would put in a teaspoon of rice wine or sherry, a teaspoon of soy sauce, and I would say a few shots, not much, of sesame oil, and beat that into the eggs. And the soy sauce acts as a salt, so you already have salt in there. And I make my fried rice, meaning I fry the rice. This is leftover rice. By the way, I like to tell the story. I was in a supermarket this years ago already, when I first started to make fried rice, and I wasn't too successful at it. And this woman in the supermarket aisle asked me to. I don't know why she picked on me to describe it. She was obviously Asian of some kind. I found out quickly Chinese. She wanted me to tell her the differences between different vinegars that were on the shelf. And it was confusing. There were a lot of different kinds of vinegar. So after I did my vinegar spiel with her, I said, "Now I have a question for you. How do you make fried rice?" And she said, "Well, the primary thing is it's got to be old rice. You can't make fresh rice and then make fried rice. Fried rice is for reheating rice." So I learned that in the end. And she said, "If you want to make it really authentic, you have to use Spam." Of course, she was talking about her favorite homey recipe, which is fried rice made with little cubes of Spam, which actually can be, well, it is very good if the rice is good. I put onion in my rice or scallion if I have it. I always have some peas in the freezer so they can go in with the rice. If I have any leftover meat from the Chinese restaurant, I dice that up. I even strip leftover spare ribs, and then dice up that meat, put that in. It's not exactly a catch-all, but it can catch a lot. And the eggs are essential. Once I have the rice and the other ingredients all sort of cooked up together, flipped around in a hot pan, I make room in the pan and pour in my egg mixture and make scrambled eggs. And as they solidify, I incorporate them into the rice so that my rice is now full of these delicious scrambled eggs. By the way, the eggs themselves are worth, for their own sake. I make scrambled eggs the way my grandmother made scrambled eggs. Which I passed on to my nephew, who has passed it on to his little girls. And I must say, Sydney, who's now 12, makes superb scrambled eggs. And why do I say they're superb? Because they're exactly like mine. So, what my grandmother did, my grandmother actually used an egg beater. Do we remember egg beaters?
We love egg beaters. They were fun in the kitchen.
I don't have an
No,
egg
there
beater.
was, and I don't know why. And then I had quickly a next door, around the corner neighbor who was Algerian, and she taught me to do it with a fork, but the whole thing about putting in the air is critical.
Right, I totally. And so, what I use, by the way, if you're good with a fork and beating in the air and the eggs, go ahead and do it. I can do it, but what I have a utensil that does it beautifully is something called a Swedish whisk. Swedish whisk. I've seen they. You can find them online. You can buy one online, probably for $5. It's a cheap thing. It's basically a what also called a flat whisk. It's not a bulbous whisk. It is I would say like a horseshoe of wire with curl with another wire curled around it, and it works extremely well. And I don't have my grandmother's egg beater anymore because it had a red lacquer handle and all the red was flaking off and it got into some food and I got disgusted with it. So I do have another red handled utensil, but I don't use it. Those old, they were not so good. They look nice in the kitchen sometimes. But anyway, yeah, I use the Swedish whisk. I beat the eggs really, really well. Some people add a few drops of water. I don't. I pour the eggs into a hot skillet. And I do use no stick skillets when I make eggs. And I like a good amount of butter. I think it enhances the eggs a lot. So I put in a good, for a couple of eggs, you want a tablespoon of butter. Heat it up as soon as it bubbles up. Pour in your beaten egg with a good pinch of salt, by the way. I always beat my eggs with a good pinch of salt. It's better than adding the salt later. And it actually helps break up the egg, the salt does, so that it really can get fluffy. And as the egg hits the pan, I turn down the heat and start pushing the egg around with the spatula. And you're going to get beautiful silken curds of egg. And you don't have to apply much heat because you heated the pan a lot at the start. As the it'll always scramble, solidify at the edges before the middle. So push them into the middle. And then you can, at some point, if you like, because you want it a little bit more done, you can flip it over, flip the mass of scrambled egg over. And that's the way I love my scrambled eggs with buttered toast. Not too much can beat that, I don't think. Anyway, there are a lot of
I'm
things
hungry.
I. You're hungry?
Well, now, yeah.
Okay. Here's another one. Egg. Now, this is an egg dinner. But what's essential is you have to have good bread to go with it. You absolutely have to have bread. Eggs in purgatory. Now, eggs poached or cooked in tomato sauce. You can make a very simple tomato sauce. You actually, I lately have been buying passata, which I didn't used to. Passata is a smooth puree of tomato. So you can put that in a skillet if you want to put garlic in. You could cook a few pieces of garlic and then put in the passata. Or you could saute some onion and then put in the passata. Or you could just have the passata, salt and pepper it. And maybe add a little bit of oil to it. That's always good. And then you break your eggs into the simmering sauce, cover the pan. And usually, to my taste, the eggs are done in less than 10 minutes. If you really want a firm yolk, you can cook them to a firm yolk, but I like them still a little soft. So that you have to scoop out of the pan with a nice spatula, hamburger turner type spatula, wide bladed spatula, and put them on top of bread or toast. And the toast will sop up all that nice tomato sauce. I sometimes make this a la matriciana, meaning I make the same sauce I would for pasta a la matriciana, but I just cook my eggs in it instead. And that means I cook out some pancetta, diced or in little strips, if you like, whichever way you like. And I would cook them out until they're crisp. Remove the crisp pancetta. Add in your I would say onion in this case, a little bit of onion, and saute that a little bit in the pancetta fat, and then add the tomato puree or crushed tomatoes, whatever tomato you want to add, canned tomato, and simmer it a few minutes, and then break your eggs into it, and so you have more or less amatriciana with eggs. And you, again, you need, I think, you have to have good bread to go with this. Ay, egg salad. How are you on egg salad? Do you like egg salad?
If it's done well, otherwise I'm not. Yeah, it's some egg salad and some deviled eggs, but mostly I mostly not.
Well, the deviled eggs are too much fuss for me, meaning you gotta, you, first of all, you have to shell the eggs so that they look good, which isn't always possible, depends on the eggs. By the way, if you want to be assured that you're going to be able to peel your eggs for something like deviled eggs, leave the eggs out for a day, out on the counter at room temperature, and not in the box that, by the way, the best way to store eggs is in the box that they come in. Don't use those refrigerator door things, or even put them on the refrigerator door, because that's, it's things that don't aren't temperature sensitive can go on the door. But the eggs should go in the refrigerator in the box that they came in. And if you want to be assured the shells are going to come off, you give the eggs a day at room temperature out of the box. So I make egg salad quite frequently, I gotta say, and I'm particular about it. One of the things I don't like about egg salad is when it's total mush. So this is an Arthur Schwartz innovation. You can use it or not. You know those egg slicer things? It's like wires
Oh,
that come down
my
on
other
the egg.
favorite, my grandmother's. Yes.
So I
You
use that to cut up the egg. I do it in two directions.
ah.
If you do it in two directions, you get large-ish pieces of egg, certainly egg white, and I like it, that texture that that gives. And I usually don't add anything but mayonnaise, but very frequently I do add minced celery if I have the celery and the patience to mince it. Also, I would throw in sometimes a finely minced shallot, or a couple of scallions, also minced, green and white, or just white, or whatever you like. But those are things that really go good. Onions go great with eggs. In fact, in my youth, this was, I haven't made this in 1,000 years, but in my youth, my mother would make a lot of sauteed onions and then mix that with chopped eggs. And that was an egg salad, kind of egg salad. And sometimes it would have mushrooms in it too. That's very good. Sauteed mushrooms and onions chopped up with hard cooked eggs. Very good. I'm making myself hungry today.
See, you know, it's and I don't know if people can visualize that the kind of egg slicer that you are talking about. What's it called?
I don't know. An egg
Okay,
slicer.
egg slicer.
You know what?
They were.
I've even seen them hanging on hooks in the supermarket. It's not an unusual item at all. I mean, I think a lot of people could visualize it. I don't know. Mine is plastic, so it has a plastic bed with an indentation that accommodates the egg in both directions, by the way, on mine. And then it has the top part is wires that come down over the egg and slice it. So if you do it in one direction and then in the other direction, you don't have exactly cubed, but you have a coarsely chopped egg with very
No,
little
it's
left.
great. I just remember hers was, of course, in stainless steel or whatever, you know,
I don't know.
but it was white.
Mine is plastic. You know, it's funny about these things. I have a, and I use quite frequently, an immersion blender. So just as I was pulling the immersion blender out of the cabinet, what was I immersing it for? I don't remember. But anyway, I'm pulling it out of the cabinet and I'm saying to myself, boy, this has been handy for at least 30 years, maybe even longer than 30 years. Cuisinart brand. So I plug it in, I turn it on, and nothing happened. It died that very moment that I was saying how long it lived. But as my appliance experts all tell me, can't expect anything to last longer than 10 years these days. So the fact that I had this immersion blender for 30 years and used it pretty frequently is amazing. So, and I discovered they're not very expensive now. I mean, I think $60, $70, I could get a really great immersion blender, which I wish I had today. I didn't buy one yet, but I'm going to make a broccoli soup in a few minutes, and I wish I had. I'm going to have to use my regular blender to puree it. So no eggs today that I can think of, but we've been eating a lot of eggs because eggs are something that you can keep in the house. You know that even by the conservative standards of the FDA, eggs can last 5 weeks in the refrigerator. A refrigerator that keeps to 40 degrees or less. Mine, by the way, my new refrigerator has a gauge on it, and mine has been consistently at 38, which is quite excellent. So, yeah, eggs can be stored, even as I say, by the conservative FDA, 5 weeks. On that note, I'm going to go out and buy some eggs today.
And an immersion blender,
And
so
an
that's good.
immersion blender. And wait a minute, and a garlic press. More on that later. I'm succumbing to the garlic press.
This has been Arthur Schwartz, the Food Mensch on Robin Hood Radio.